Good morning and welcome.
Are we there? You got it? Thank you. Some 6 months since we've been here together. And I want to wish you God's grace and blessings as we gather. It's a rather, don't mind saying, nuisance for us to have to keep our distance, to be told where to sit, and to wear the masks. But all of these things are what the public health have deemed to keep us safe. And so we do this for one another. And in the meantime, it is good to be in the house of the Lord, to be able to worship together. Hope you have had opportunity, either computer, TV, or receiving the email, the postal mail orders of service and the messages to keep you in touch with the community of faith. And in the meantime, it's good now to be together again. Just want to make brief mention of a couple of the announcements. We don't have bulletins to hand out. That's another one of the things we've changed in the last while. But just to mention, there are people in the hospital and dealing with other things, and we want to remember them in our thoughts and prayers. Later in September, we want to begin a new worship series, Pressing On, Finding Challenge and Encouragement in a Marathon Season. And the message is based on the letter to the Philippian church, and invite you to read those brief chapters as you have opportunity in your devotional time. Just a reminder, our worship services are going to continue at 10 a.m. Today, being the long weekend, typically is time when we change to regular hours as opposed to summer. But for September, at least, we will continue to have the worship times at 10 a.m. Next Sunday, September 13th, will be a younger generation service, and we look forward to another seniors worship service on September 20th. In the meantime, our services are being recorded with video and will be available online a little bit after the service. Lots of other details, information, if you pick up an email version of the bulletin or receive it in the mail later on, and please respond accordingly. Just to note that a good number of you participate with the German worship service. At this time, we won't be offering that until we get things further sorted out. But just to let you know, the Niagara United Mennonite Church still has the German services either on their website or on Cogeco TV, alternating Sundays. Would like to thank you for your continued financial support for the church. Even though our regular programming hasn't continued, expenses for the church continue, and we thank you for your support for that. To begin our time together this morning, I would like to share with you from Psalm 68. Sing to the Lord. Sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, defender of widows, God is his holy is in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Let us bow in prayer. Gracious God, it is again good to be in your house, to worship with your people, to be encouraged and supported in our faith with Jesus Christ. May our worship today be inspiring and uplifting for the living of these days. Bless Pastor Nick as he shares later in the service, and for those joining us on the internet, and other means, may you bless them with a sense of belonging and being part of this community. Thank you for this, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While we don't sing inside, we'd invite Alvin to share with us music on the hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms and Amazing Grace.
Good morning. I'm really happy to be here this morning to play. Unfortunately, due to our regulations and the rules right now, we're not allowed to sing in church. Or I suppose you can sing at home, but that's fine. However, that doesn't stop you from humming. The words will be on the screen, so you can hum, you can clap, you can tap your knees, or you can anything you like, but that's the way it is for now, and we'll just do the best with it.
Just sharing together and listening to music, and I hope you were reading the text of the songs and humming or clapping along, a sense of being part of community and worship with God. These words from Psalm 105, look to the Lord and His strength, seek His face always, remember the wonders He has done. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, thank you for watching over us these past months when we were apart and as we continue to keep our distance so that we may be safe. We recall the stories of God's people who met at Mount Sinai and in many ways had to keep their distance to stay safe. And yet your servant Moses conversed with you and shared what he had heard with your people. As we gather together today, may we hear a word from you as Pastor Nick shares with us. Inspire us by your Spirit. Strengthen us for the days ahead, that we may be witnesses of what Jesus Christ has done for us. For these things we pray in his name, holding before you our community, our leaders, and others of family members for whom we hold dear in our hearts. For this we give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We'll be reading this morning from Exodus 19, verses 16 to 20. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camps to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it with fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. And the Lord descended on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. Thus far the reading of God's word. This summer we spent the second half of my month of parental leave in British Columbia, spending time with Megan's family. This was a decision that we weighed and we made, knowing that if we didn't make an effort to see them at this time, it would likely prove difficult, if not impossible, to see them for some time. It was, for the most part, a very quiet couple of weeks. While isolation is not required for travel between our two provinces, we wanted to limit our activity all the same to be safe. Plus, with two children and their respective naps to juggle, it meant we couldn't get too ambitious with all our plans. One of the things I was able to do, though, was to go for a hike. I try to do this at least once each time I visit, usually with one or a few of my in-laws in tow. This time, I went alone. I woke early that day, very early, and drove off to the trailhead. It was a hike I knew would be less heavily trafficked and wouldn't require a reservation. It was Mount Sumas in Abbotsford. Maybe some of you know the area. It was also not a particularly good day for a hike, I have to say, which meant that there would be even fewer people on the trail and I wouldn't have to worry so much about distancing. It was rainy to start and cloudy the whole way through. Last week in our service, we looked at a story of reunion in the wilderness. We read how Moses' family had come to see him and be with him in the desert and reflected on some of our own experiences of reunion in this time, including our return to in-person services. This week, as we conclude this series, we'll be looking at a story about revelation in the wilderness. By this point in the story, we read the reunions all over. Moses' father-in-law, wife, and sons had all left, and the people of Israel had moved on to a new place, the deserts of Sinai. And when they get there, we read that they set up camp at the base of the mountain there. And once they had pitched their tents and settled in, Moses went up that mountain so he could stand before God, we're told. The climb probably took more or less about the same time it took me in August, with Sinai and Sumas, as they figure, both amounting to about 700 meters of elevation gain. But I'd like to think that Moses probably scaled it faster than me, probably because in my mind I tend to associate him with the young Charlton Heston. Once he reached the summit, we're told that God speaks to him. God tells Moses to relay a message to the people, a message about the life that God wants for them and the people they might become if they live according to that. So Moses makes his way down the mountain and shares those words with him. The people listen carefully and tell him they're all on board. We'll do whatever God wants us to do, they say. So Moses climbs up that mountain once again so he can stand again before God. We might well wonder if his legs must have begun to hurt at this point. I suppose I could have climbed Mount Sumas twice in a row. It only took me about 4 hours, a round trip to do it once. Theoretically, I could have done it twice if I wanted, but who on earth would want to do that? I wanted to drive home and get changed and have something to eat and be with my family. Moses, on the other hand, was motivated, highly motivated by a much bigger sense of purpose than I was that day, to ascend the mountain for a second time. For him, the excitement and expectancy must have surely overruled any sense of exhaustion he felt that day. And so Moses goes up that mountain once again and speaks once more with God. Moses tells God what the people had said. And then he's told that God is going to appear, taking the form of a thick cloud, and the people are to prepare for this. And so Moses puts one aching foot in front of another until he's back down at the foot of the mountain once again. And he tells everyone how they're to get ready for this. And having heard all this, the camp is abuzz with excitement. The atmosphere is charged with this anxiousness and expectation. This expectation about seeing God, about hearing what God might say. An expectation about God being revealed and what God might reveal to them in that time. Over these past few months, I've heard a good number of you wonder aloud what God might be trying to show us through this pandemic. What God might be maybe revealing to us in this season, this wilderness season that we're in. Often when we've talked, you've simply asked the question. Other times you've shared some of your thoughts about what that might be. I have to say, I've really appreciated these conversations and the depths of faith that have been shown in them. I also say, though, that I try to be careful when I ask those sort of questions and think about them for a number of reasons. For one, I'm not particularly comfortable with a view of God as one who brings down suffering on humanity just to show us a point. I also worry that it's maybe not entirely honoring for those who've experienced loss to go so quickly looking for the spiritual lesson. And I maybe worry as well that sometimes our tendency might be to find a religious moral of the story that applies to everyone or someone else, when God's word that I might need to listen for in this time might be for me. All the same, it's such a natural impulse, isn't it? And such good things to be asking, we might say. What might God be showing in this time? I found myself asking some of those same questions as we've continued on through these times. So we can relate to the people of Israel as they waited in the wilderness, wondering what God might have to say to them, what God might have to show to them. We can maybe even picture ourselves standing along with them, looking up with them at that towering mountain before them, asking that same question. What might God be showing us in this time? We read that 3 days passed for them like this, and that after that, the people of God gather around the mountain again at the foot of it. Like my mountain in the foggy Fraser Valley, it was covered with heavy cloud that day. Except this we read is different. The cloud is thicker and darker, we read, and moves down the mountain as it appears. And there's thunder and lightning, all of this noise. And as the people stand there watching, they see that the cloud is now mixed with smoke. And as they look down at their feet, they feel the ground begin to shake. As he sees all this, Moses understands what's happening. He sees it. God is coming to this place. God's presence is taking form and drawing near. The noise grows louder and louder. And Moses speaks to God, and God answers him. And Moses goes up that desert mountain once more. He ascends that great hill for a third time, if you could believe it, and meets with God once again. What might God want to reveal to us in this time? In his commentary on the book of Exodus, Thomas Joseph White writes this. In the Hebrew scriptures, one of the things that the mountain of Sinai represents is a physical separation. The heights of the mountain are a place that's distant from ordinary life, where one is alone with God in solitude. Let me repeat that. Listen closely for the connections with our time, with your experiences in this time. Mount Sinai, he says, represents a physical separation. Sound at all familiar? Social distancing, self-isolation, 6 feet between us. Stay at home if you need to. The heights of the mountain, he continues, are a place that's distant from ordinary life, where one is alone with God in solitude. Distant from ordinary life. That's us. Alone and in solitude. We've certainly done plenty of that these past few months as well. For some of us, the experiences come more easily, I think. For you introverted and reflective and homebody types, the quiet time alone has perhaps not been as much of a challenge. Others of you, however, have shared how truly difficult it's been at times. I miss socializing, you've shared, or I'm not used to sitting still, or it's too quiet, or I need something to do. For many of us, to enter into solitude, separation, and to remain there can be truly disorienting, perhaps even frightening. Such must have been true for Moses' trek that day. As we carry on through these verses, we watch as he trudges up towards God's presence once more. As with the other times, he was alone again. Not a soul in sight along the trail, as it was for me that August day. He ascends alone, and the scene around him is quite frankly terrifying. Now, there are, of course, all the typical risks that come with mountains, things that might cause a normal person to be cautious or frightened on a normal day. Before I went up, for example, Meg and I talked about whether I should make a last-minute run to get a bear bell because of recent reports of sightings. She also asked me to provide updates every 20 minutes so she could know I was alive and had not fallen or gotten lost or got caught in a quick change of weather or become lunch for a bear. Because I'm adept and I'm somewhat active, but I'm clearly no Charlton Heston. I told her I'd meet her halfway and let her know when I had summited and was back at the car. There are all the typical risks that come with being around mountains, some of them truly serious. But this in the deserts of Sinai was different. It was much different. We read that the people of Israel stood around the mountain watching all of this unfold with wide eyes and that they were shaking with fear. They didn't dare move an inch closer, as Pastor Andy said, to that storm and the clouds and the flames, dreading that if they did, it would be the death of them. This experience of physical separation, of being distant from ordinary life, where one's alone in solitude, can be utterly daunting and distressing for so many of us. We find ourselves often unsettled by what rises to the surface in us and want to plunge ourselves back into the world of distraction and activity as soon as we possibly can. We want to look away from what we see, to not go up that path, to not move any further. We can imagine that Moses' lonely mountain journey towards God's presence was not easy. Neither has ours been. And yet I wonder if God is perhaps uniquely seen and heard in the experience of solitude. And if we see something of that in this story and in our stories in this time. There's a kind of isolation that's destructive, yes. Isolation that cuts us off from others and from life and erodes our spirits. But I also believe that as it was in the stony aloneness of Sinai, God might be encountered uniquely when we're by ourselves. That we might miss something even spiritually when we do everything we can to avoid being alone. I've never heard so many people ask what God might be trying to say or show us as I did while we were all isolated during lockdown. Why was that? I wonder if God might be encountered uniquely in solitude. All the same, how God might choose to show up and speak to us in that way might still be frightening. Which is another reason, I think, why I try to be careful when it comes to asking that question. Because when we see God revealed in Scripture, it often looks like it does in this story. The sort of thing that might leave you blind or blow at your eardrums or knock you to your knees. This mountaintop God of ours is wild, untamed, holy, and powerful. Were the people of Israel really prepared for what God might show them? How God might show up with that being the case? Am I really prepared to stand there with them and watch for it? Most of you will know what comes next in this story, if you've read it or heard it or watched the full 3.5 hours of the movie. The people watch on from a distance as Moses steps forward towards that thick darkness where God has taken form. God speaks to him and unveils to him the law, telling him the Ten Commandments. Which might seem like a fairly lousy revelation at first. Just a bunch of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. Just a bunch of rules. But we know that they bear the marks of God's glory and are given as an act of grace. They're markers and guideposts provided for a pilgrim journey. A pattern for life as they move onwards in that uncertain time and seek the promised lands. The people, of course, struggled to receive it at first. They wanted their own way. Moses came down to a people who were significantly less receptive than they said they would be just a few days earlier. He comes down to a golden calf. One more reason, I suppose, to wonder about that question, to ask it carefully. Because I'll ask it, I'm sure. I'll ask it for sure. I'll ask what God might be having to show me, having to say to me in this time. But am I really prepared to receive and to act on what God might say to me? Or would I, at the end of the day, prefer to forge my own idols and path instead? All the same, God showed grace to the people and patience again and again and again. And this became part of their way through the wilderness and beyond it. We're entering into this time when some of you are shifting out of isolation into activities. Summer's over. Our services are starting up again. And more people are returning to their workplaces and offices and volunteer roles. Classes are resuming. This comes with a mix of excitement and anxiousness. It also comes with a shift out of solitude for some of us. So I'd invite you to continue to hold on to that question that so many of you asked in those weeks when things were quieter, when we were alone. What might God be showing us in this time? Keep asking that. Keep looking for that. And keep being open to being led to what you receive in response. May God continue to guide us as we carry on through the wilderness in these days to come. Amen.
Typically at this point, we would be standing and singing our last song. But if you're able, please feel free to stand up. And as we said before, hum along. I heard some people humming. It sounded great.
Good again to see you here today. We seek God's blessing on our offerings, given both here and elsewhere as we go. And we hear these words of blessing spoken over you, over us, as we go from this place today. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with the gospel, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the word of the eternal gods, in order that people might come to obedience, which comes through faith, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. May you go in peace. Our ushers will come and dismiss starting at the back on this side here. We'd ask that you wait to be led out by them. Thank you. God's peace.